Hello, everybody. It's George Marlin, so welcome back to the channel. Anyway, so I just found out a few hours ago that Derek Draper is no more. And I know he'd been very ill since coronavirus. He was infected with COVID. He was in a coma for months. His widow, as she now is, Kate Garraway, so a well-known television presenter, and she was often bubbling forth about how grieved she was that her husband was suffering. And of course, got to have some human sympathy for her, no matter how vile her husband is, because she loved him. He perhaps had his qualities. I was purblind to them, I have to confess. It would have been agonizing for her and their two children. And he somewhat made a recovery, but he died at the age of 56. So who was he? He's best known as being a political necromancer for the Blair administration. So he's a Labour Party hack, but he never sought public office himself. He did later become rancorously disillusioned with the Labour Party under Gordon Brown, but he got over that disaffection, became a Labour supporter once again. So he's from Lancashire, that's in northwest England, fairly strongly Labour area, just north of Manchester. And indeed, he attended the University of Manchester, and he really worked in politics well, I mean, for most of his life. So whilst he was an undergraduate, he was very involved in the Labour Club at Manchester University, and he was an outspoken admirer of Ken Livingstone, then leader of the Greater London Council, later an MP for a London constituency. Ken Livingstone, who's now got Alzheimer's, they announced this year. It seems to me that Livingstone's had Alzheimer's for decades. But there we go. So Livingstone was this far left rabble rouser and a really swivel eyed extremist, an outspoken advocate of terrorism against the United Kingdom, of sectarian murderers and racism in Northern Ireland. So a truly foul character who will really not be missed, an absolute skunk. And this is the kind of person that Draper held in high regard. Upon graduation, he was constituency secretary for Nick Brown, a Labour MP who he's actually still a Labour MP for Newcastle. And then he worked for Peter Mandelson, who's another absolute scumbag and now peer, corrupt liar. So really, he had very poor taste. Nick Brown wasn't too bad, actually. And then he became a lobbyist in 96. So there's sort of an encyclopedic knowledge of the Westminster village, had the personal phone numbers of various people, the MPs or their secretaries and things like that. And obviously had contacts in the media. And then he founded a new Labour ginger group called Progress. In those days of the mid-90s, they used to talk about new Labour all the time. Tony Blair became leader of the Labour Party in 94 upon the death of John Smith. And he branded it New Labour, New Labour, New Britain, New Labour. And all this unctuous babble was coming out of the Labour Party at the time. But anyway, a large segment of the British public just lapped up this complete twaddle. And obviously, there were many reasons to feel bitterly disappointed with the Conservative administration of John Major at the time, which was failing by many metrics. So people were unhappy with the long waiting lists and so on. He was then still a lobbyist. He was director at GPC Market Access. And he bragged, he was unbeknownst to himself, recorded by a journalist called Greg Palast, who was posing as a businessman. Derek Draper and now Lord Mendelssohn, Jonathan Mendelssohn, that he could get you access to any cabinet minister you want to, and they would change the tax code to ensure tax reductions for their clients and so on. This was Lobbygate, so it was a huge scandal. Draper said there are only 70 people who counted this government, and that was largely true. So you couldn't doubt his knowledge on this one. And he said he wanted £250 an hour, which in 1998 was a staggering sum of money. It was at least double that back then. So he really epitomised the avarice and the moral bankruptcy of the Blair administration. Although he was not actually appointed to something by them, he was very close to them. He might as well have been a cabinet minister. He held more sway than some of them. Now Palast, the journalist who exposed this bribe-taking, said, well, this is actually not really about him. It's about the Blair and his Camarilla that he wanted to get to, not Draper. But you know that much of the media was still in love with the Blair administration, so they didn't turn their fire against them. They sort of let them off the hook, and they went for Derek Draper. So he lost his job. He was also writing for the Daily Express at the time, which had formerly been a conservative newspaper. Anyway, so then he studied in the United States. He lied about having gone to the University of California, Berkeley. He studied some other institution in that town, studying clinical psychology, and tried to reinvent himself as that. So he was part of the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy and always in the media speaking about that. Perhaps he needed some to get over how he'd screwed up his career by soliciting bribes like that. So he was revolted with Labour, partly because of the liberation of Iraq. One of the few good things that Labour did under Tony Blair was to free the Iraqis from this genocidal tyranny of Saddam Hussein. They therefore upheld United Nations Security Council's resolutions and ensured that the Iraqi regime did not have weapons of mass destruction. Draper, he tried to convince people to vote against the Labour Party and vote for the Liberal Democrats or even the once detested Conservatives, anything they could to get them out. Because he became to absolutely revile Tony Blair. This is all the added bitterness of a former friend. And he was really disparaging about Gordon Brown and later about Lord Mandelson. These were leaked and so on. So later he set up the Labour List website in 2009, when the websites were just becoming really important. And he connected to a whole younger generation of rising Labour MPs like David Lammy, who's now Labour's Shadow Foreign Secretary. He did come back on board with the Labour Party, but it was sort of too late. 2010, Labour were out. So, yeah, he'd married at a relatively late age and had two children. So he'd been in relative obscurity for a few years before he fell gravely ill. And so for about 3.5 years, he'd been rather unwell. So and his wife, Kate Garraway, she made a documentary about him finding Derek, about how this terrible illness had impacted her and the children. So obviously they're deserving of human sympathy. So Derek Draper, not someone I'll miss. And I do remember watching election night 1997, him on television. And who was the other guy? Harvey something or other, a former Maggie Thatcher pollster. And who was Armando Iannucci, that Glaswegian comedian, saying, well, come in these hypothetical scenarios, how would you handle this from a media perspective? David Blunkin said, I'd hate Muslims. And Draper would say, no, he didn't say that. He said something else. And he was deliberately misquoted by the right-wing gutter press. So I suppose people thought he was a man with a sense of humor. He was certainly a glib and adept liar, which came in handy with supporting Blair's regime. So that is the end of Derek Draper. All right, so thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe and donate liberally on PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.